the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Again, we are broadcasting live right here from our studios, and our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday afternoon, and very much looking forward to what we'll have to share today live on the Grace Hour. Again, we're just focusing in on the Christmas season here and what it actually means, according to what the scriptures teach us and how we're celebrating holy days, not holidays. And again, that's going to be our theme all week long, right here in the Grace Hour. And not only will you get to enjoy today's devotional message, but following that, we'll open the phone lines and we'll get to enjoy your participation in the broadcast today. That's right, you can join us live simply by picking up a phone and dialing one of these numbers, which will bring you right into our studios, and you can share with our listening audience what's on your heart and what your thoughts are as we celebrate the Christmas season. Here are those numbers, toll-free in North America, 800-338-7060. Again, the 800 number, toll-free, 800-338-7060. And that local number for all of you that are listening here in the greater Baltimore area, well, that number is 410-483-3700, and we look forward to having you join us. Your comments, questions, testimonies, your prayer requests and counseling needs, all are welcome when those phone lines are open. We hope that many of you will join us live. I want to welcome our local listeners right here in the Baltimore area, joining us on our local station that we broadcast on Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for joining us. A reminder to you, of course, if you'd like, and we hope you will, you can transition over to the internet and join us at gracehour.org for the remaining half hour, and that way you'll be with us for the full hour-long broadcast today. And the folks listening live on the internet around the globe, welcome. Great to have you with us, as always. And those of you listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, it's a pleasure to have you with us as well. And welcome to everyone as we, again, draw ever closer to that great day of celebration. And, of course, for us as believers, as members of the body of Christ, His true church, we're celebrating Christ's coming, I think, every day of the year. And there's a lot to celebrate about it. But think about it. You know, the world celebrates what? It's holidays. And what is that? Well, I suppose you could say it's a break. It's a time of rest. It's when they kind of gather together with perhaps family, friends, loved ones, and they relax and get a break from their typical work week or day, whatever it might be. But usually it does focus in on a day. Oh, of course, I think the Europeans, when they refer to the word holiday, may mean a vacation. But what does it mean to you and I, that is, this Christmas celebration? Well, these are holy days. And when you think of that word holy, we always think first and foremost of the very nature and character of God. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, again, the angels cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." They were describing the nature of God, pure, righteous, utterly and completely. That's God's character. What about ours? Well, sometimes anything but holy. And yet, think about it. The Holy One of God, Christ, came into our world and lived that perfect and impeccable life so that He could become the perfect sacrifice for our unholy lives. You know, Romans, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul says that we were, well, think about it, without strength. And when he mentions that in Romans chapter 5, he is talking about no strength before God, no strength to be able to live a life that's acceptable in God's eyes, no strength to be able to produce a righteousness that he accepts. I mean, we were utterly and completely devoid of any and all strength. Without strength, sinners, we know that. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. Everyone has. Really doesn't matter who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we were what? Enemies. Enemies of God. Oh, I think that sometimes people look at themselves and don't see themselves as enemies of God. Maybe they've done some things that have been offensive to God. Maybe they've made some mistakes, but enemies? I don't think I would put myself in the classification of an enemy, and yet that's what God says we are, and more. But the Holy One came so that he could actually take our ungodliness, take our sin upon himself. I know it almost sounds like, well, you're talking about the cross. Well, I think that we can't help ourselves when we talk about the cradle, the birth of Christ, Bethlehem. We can't help but think of the cross, his destiny. It's why he came. The Holy One of God came so that he could be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that's exactly what he did at the cross. I think it's just a matter of lifting up the eyes of our hearts from that cradle in Bethlehem to Calvary's Hill, where Christ was crucified, not for his own sins and crimes, but for ours, the perfect substitute for our sins, the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the world. And that's why these are holy days, because indeed he was holy, without spot, without blemish. He, as it says in Hebrews the 4th chapter, knew no sin. He knew no sin, absolutely, not a single sin. He was without any sin at all. And you and I, what were we? Without any righteousness. Even our own righteousness. Think about it. Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the 6th verse. God says that our righteousness were, as it were in his eyes, filthy rags. Friends, if that's what our righteousness looks like, what does our sin look like in the sight of God? I think sometimes we can't even understand it. We can't comprehend the nature of our sin unless we see it in the light of what the scriptures teach us. And our sin, think about it. The Apostle Paul said that we were sinners, of course. Adam had sinned, and then God, after that, gave the law. Well, didn't people realize that they were sinners prior to Moses bringing the law? Yes, but in some cases, perhaps not. But the law did one thing for us. It made us exceedingly sinful. Now there's no escaping what we really are in the sight of God. I know that some may say, well, this doesn't sound much like a Christmas celebration, but that's exactly what it is. There is no celebrating the birth of Christ if we cannot be cleansed from our sins. There's no celebrating the birth of Christ if we cannot be forgiven. There's no celebrating the birth of Christ if we don't find ourselves accepted by God. And the only way that's possible is that Christ would come into our world and be with us. And that was his name. His name would be Emmanuel, God with us. God, beyond that, dying for us. God, after that, after exercising faith in who he is and his work on the cross, God adopting us, taking us into his own family, redeeming our lives, giving us purpose, meaning, and hope. Like the hymn says, the hopes and fears throughout all the years were met in thee tonight, that night that Christ was born. And he would remove fear, replace it with hope, and think about it. You know, the angelic announcement was that this birth was to all people. It doesn't matter who you are today. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. This message is for you. And if you've ever thought about the real meaning of Christmas, if you've ever asked yourself, what are we celebrating? Why are we exchanging gifts? Why do we come together? What's the purpose of the celebration? Why do some people rejoice and others almost slip into some kind of depression at this time of the year? Well, again, this message of hope is to all people, everyone. Christ died for your sins. He became the perfect sacrifice for you. He came into the world in Bethlehem of Judea for you. He lived an impeccable life for 33 years for you. He died as a criminal crucified on the cross for you, but he was raised again for your justification. And now he ascends and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you're a believer, well, he's there praying for you, interceding for you. He did it for you. Make no mistake about it. Make this Christmas personal. Ask God to open your eyes and to give you an understanding, a revelation, if you will, of the reality of the truth regarding Christmas. It is holy. That child that was born from the womb of Mary was a holy child. He had to be. He had to be, because that was God. Yes, and we hear it so often and was mentioned in one of our services recently. Did Mary realize that when she kissed her child, she kissed the face of God? Did she realize that that was God in the flesh? Well, we know it's the truth. The scriptures teach it. We celebrate it. And when you think about Christ coming, there's so much to celebrate. Not for a day, but for every day. Because we've opened our hearts. And you know, we're familiar with the account in the scriptures where there was no room for them in the inn. I wonder how many people today are saying, when they hear the offer of the gospel, when they hear the truth about Christ and his coming, well, I'm just too busy. My life is too full. There's no room for him in my life at this time. We want to encourage you here at the Grace Hour. Make room. Open your heart. Give him a place. Let him come in. Let the celebration in Bethlehem of Judea, those many years ago, become a celebration of your heart today as you say yes to Jesus. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Remember, that's what the world needs. The world does not need, you know, an economic revival. The world does not need wars to cease. The world does not need new leadership. We keep thinking this is going to make the difference. This is going to bring about the change that we long for as a people, as a race here on our planet. The world needs exactly what God sent, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And if he's not your Savior, make him your Savior today. He could be knocking at the door of your heart. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. Lord, we pray that if anyone is listening to our voices today here in the Grace Hour and they have never made a decision to trust you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that today would be the day. We pray that they'd open their hearts, that they would respond to the offer of your pure grace and allow that grace to save them and to seat them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and to make them children of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, we have a couple of prayer requests that we want to bring to your attention today as well. Our dear sister in the Lord, Miriam Kallenbach. Continue to keep her in your prayers. She's been hospitalized, and she really has asked that the body of Christ worldwide would pray for her healing. So, Father, we pray for Miriam today in that hospital room. Lord, may she sense that she is not alone, that you are with her, and may your Spirit comfort her, and may our prayers be heard today on her behalf. Heal her, raise her up, restore her to good health, Father. And anyone that needs a healing touch today in our listening audience, those that may be dealing with the COVID virus, those that may be hospitalized as a result of it, Lord Jesus, how we pray that you would touch them and heal them and be greatly glorified as you do it. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, friends, you can join us anytime now until, of course, the end of the broadcast, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Plenty of opportunity for you to weigh in and share your thoughts with us. Those phone lines are now open. So when you get a chance, dial one of these numbers, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free. And locally right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Pastor Schaller's joined us in the studio on our Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour.
Pastor Love, you did a great job there with that word. It's true. It's a sacred time for believers and the unbeliever to recognize the historical validity of the event based on the scripture and the life of Christ. It's undeniable that this person lived and did what he did. And then, of course, the birth of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, the empowerment of the believer from heaven, and change history. History is the evidence of the reality of the risen Christ, the reality of the Messiah. So when we consider his birth, we go back in our Bibles to the prophets and what they said, Micah 5:2, where he would be born, what he would do. And then when we read the gospel accounts, we really labor in our heart and we celebrate, we marvel, we ponder, we consider, we seek, we search, we commit, we investigate, we declare, we embrace the reality of what this is about. And the metaphysical aspect of it, the transcendental aspect of it, is phenomenal, that God came into the world because he cares for us. And it solves a metaphysical dilemma. Why are we here? Where are we going? What is our purpose? And to think that God so loved the world that he came, this is just, Paul said, unspeakable gift. It's just beyond human comprehension. We cannot grasp the whole thing. It's infinite in scope. It's eternal in its effect. It's literally the forgiveness of all of our sin and the gift of God's righteousness to us, giving to us eternal life. And though our bodies die, yet we will live, and our bodies one day will also be resurrected from the grave and be with Christ in heaven. This is for sure. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you. So we have a lot to think about and embrace. And I would, Pastor Love, like you to comment on the more typical way that people celebrate Christmas, maybe the hustle and bustle, the buying of gifts, the kind of like uptick in our activity, in parties, in the uptick in a kind of a celebration, or you know, the uptick in our kind of work in an ordinary way, like the ordinary celebration versus what we're talking about today.
It typically is a joyful time of the year, but it does make you wonder how many people go beyond that and ask themselves why.
Yeah.
why is it joyful? Why are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? And it's also interesting that there may be people who, in the course of decorating their homes for Christmas, they might even include a manger scene.
Okay.
But that's just part of, you know, the manger scene is together with Santa Claus and, you know, maybe even angelic beings are represented. But I find it interesting because that manger scene really doesn't threaten you. It's kind of nice. It's it's enjoyable. It's easy on the eyes. But then a cross, it's like the manger makes no claim upon your life. The cross, that's different. You have to decide about it. And I noticed driving through my neighborhood the other night that there was the reindeer and Santa Claus and the manger scene and a cross. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, well, what's behind that? Is someone trying to give us a message? It's like you look and you see the manger scene, and then to the right of it, there's a big cross all decorated. I mean, it's almost as if the homeowner was saying, he came, and this is why he came.
Oh, yes. Well, if we read Luke 2, and the shepherds came to Bethlehem, as the angels told them to. There was a great multitude of angels praising God. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary, in verse 16 of chapter 2, and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they actually are communicating to the other people around. They actually said, the angels appeared to us. We came to the manger. We have seen the babe, the child. They were wondering about all of this. What is the meaning of it? Glory to God in the highest, goodwill towards men, peace on earth. And I like that actually Christmas is a time of telling other people about the child born in Bethlehem. When you think of God being born as a human being, he always was God, always will, is from everlasting to everlasting. But now he's vulnerable as a child. That, like you said, it's kind of not threatening. It's pleasing to the eye. It's a gentle scene. It's a beautiful scene, a family with a child. And God coming to the world like this, it's attractive to us. We are drawn to it. And then the shepherds are talking. They go around and they're talking about what they saw, angels and a message and the babe in the manger. And then it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word pondered is from the Greek sunbalo. It's like thrown together, like putting thoughts together, throwing them together, like thinking, pondering, trying to figure it out. Like her pregnancy was a mystery. You know, how did that happen? And the birth of the child and the shepherds now that are saying these things. And so she has a lot to think about. And I think that's maybe the meaning of Christmas for us. You have the ordinary way of celebrating, a lot of noise, a lot of activity, and so on. And then you have another way, and it's the pondering. It's the thoughtfulness. It's the consideration regarding Christ, but then we can add to that regarding our neighbor, the pondering of eternal life, the pondering of being lost, not saved, the pondering of not being forgiven, the pondering of the art of living. We had that phrase today, that there are people that are struggling with life, and they don't know how to pay their bills, or they don't know how to keep a job, or they keep their marriage together, or raise a child. It's not easy. But what if we approach a God in all of this and say, God, help me, show me, I want to take it to heart. I want to meditate, I want to seek, I want to ask you to help me. I need to learn how to live. I want to take it seriously. So Mary has been put right into it, and now she has a lot to think about. And maybe that's how we should approach Christmas, too, that way. Let me take some time in my heart, and ask God to help me. Why don't I take some time aside and mark off some time, and if I can, and do it maybe later at night, early in the morning, but take some time and ponder and consider your ways, Haggai said in the prophet Haggai in chapter 1. Though you take in a lot of money, you put the money in a bag with holes in it. How appropriate that is for some of us. Though you sow your seed, yet you can't harvest. You know, though you talk, yet you can't really find a message. You and I can approach Christmas not in the ordinary way, but in a very special way.
Amen. Good thoughts. Well, we're still live, friends, at gracehour.org. Our first half hour is in the books, and those of you that couldn't stay with us, thanks so much for joining us today. And for those of you that were able to transition over to the internet, we appreciate that very much. And stay with us at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. So good to have you with us as we consider these thoughts. It really, you've got to do some thinking. You've got to do some reflecting. You've got to go beyond the superficial, beyond the festive occasion of these days, and ask yourself, what am I celebrating? What am I rejoicing about? Is this more than mere emotions, good emotions? Has something happened that impacts my life forever? And the answer is yes. There's so much. And as you were sharing that from Luke chapter 2, Pastor Schaller, I mean, the word from the angels was true. There was no lie there. And I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, which says that the words spoken by angels, words they speak, are steadfast and true. If that's the case, how much more can we believe the word that comes from God himself? If the angels didn't lie, how much more can we count on the promise of God?
Yeah, you know, when we read the scripture and go through the whole volume, Psalm 45, Psalm 22, Micah, all the way back in Genesis, we have Deuteronomy 18, chapter 17, 18. You see over and over, woven through the text, those things that pertain to Christ. Now, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he is talking with Elijah and Moses about the coming days, we see Christ really filled with information. He's actually very aware of himself in the Old Testament. And then you see it in Luke 24, after his resurrection, he's talking to the disciples about everything in the law and Moses and the prophets that pertain to him, and their hearts burned within them. So the Bible is filled with the messages of the Messiah and the purpose of the Messiah. So we should be talking about it.
Amen. Yeah, and we are, and we'll continue to do so all week long and into next week as well, friends. We have a caller. It's Bernice, our good friend Bernice, listening down in Louisiana. Bernice, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yeah, how are you today?
Great.
I'm really, actually, we had a lesson concerning the parable of the weeds, the sower went out to sower. And I don't know, I guess different one was saying different things and just kind of had me off. But after I got home, I started thinking about it. And it, you know, when he was talking to the disciples, he told them that it had been given for them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But the others, it were not. I'm thinking, he said it has been given. I don't know if they really understood it all. I don't know. I just kind of got a little mixed up on it. So could you, and I'm thinking he was telling them about the different kinds of heart. And I guess it means that if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I guess the same thing could happen with us. He said, he said, you'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. But this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it repent and turn. I lost where I was reading it, and I guess it may say, and I will heal them.
Yes, it's in Isaiah 6. Yeah. It's quoted a number of times in the New Testament, that text. And yes, it could happen to us. It happened to Israel in 2 Corinthians 4, Matthew 28. Jesus referred to the generation that he was speaking to, that they fit that profile. So now that your question is, could that also happen to Christians? And the answer is yes. That's what pride does. Pride deceives me, blinds my eyes and my ears, my heart is far from God. You know, I have hypocrisy, not humility, not spirit-filled, but I'm blinded, even though I'm reading the Bible, but I don't understand really what I'm reading. So it must be that we are humble and spirit-filled people in order to understand what Jesus is saying.
I think I understood what he was saying. I don't know. Well, I do. I think I do. Because I can't say how humble I were when I first got saved. Because maybe I know I want to be. And I heard you saying, asking God to help us. The different things I was listening to that you were saying. I think it was you when you were talking before I came on.
Okay.
I certainly don't want to be prideful.
Right, right, yes.
And I really can't say that I handle everything right, but I know in my heart I don't want to be.
Right.
I was thinking, was talking to the first disciples that he chose, and it also applied with us, but then I thought, I said, well, the Bible said we are adopted in. These were Jewish people. But I believe once we receive Christ, it could apply to us, too, about the different kinds of heart the seed was planted on.
Yes. He He told parables knowing that the people, the religious leaders, wanted to speak theologically in their way, in there with their vocabulary, and to speak from the scripture. But he did a shift. He spoke like earthly stories. And if you were spiritually minded, you could hear it and believe it and benefit from it. But these people that have become proud in their religion couldn't understand him because their eyes were blinded and their ears were stopped and their hearts were hard. So imagine a simple story told by Jesus not being understood. That's an amazing thing. And I think that the same thing is happening today in our world, where the simplest teaching, the simplest principle is not heard and not believed by people. They are hard-hearted and deceived, and they can't even understand the simplest thing. And that's because God has turned them over to blindness and professing to be wise. They are the experts. They profess to be wise, but they become fools. A case in point is when they can't identify a little girl from a little boy. And a little girl says, "I'm a boy," and the leaders in society condone that. That's like foolish. It's harmful to children, and it's a blindness. It's a spiritual blindness. So that's happening a lot today. So there's a blindness not only regarding the Bible and the faith, but regarding even commonsensical things. That God has turned them over to that.
Right. Would you say those people are born again, or are they not?
Well, no, they're not. The people that I'm talking about just now, they are not born again. Okay. And then, but are there Christians that are also blinded that are born again? And the point is, of course, yes, it could happen. I don't have anybody in mind, but in principle, that it can happen as it did to the Jews.
I know that one lady said that, you know, when you accept Jesus Christ, I was at a Bible class today, and the instructor said that when you accept Jesus Christ and you don't grow. I think she said that. I hate to say something, I'm not sure she said it. But I know the Word of God said, grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I just kind of got a little, after I got home, it seemed like the Holy Spirit was just speaking to him. And then I said, oh, well, I get somebody. I usually call when I get a little, I'm not stuck because I know I'm saved. But I certainly want to be, and I can't say I was that, I don't think I were. I was a babe in the Lord. And but I've grown and I'm grateful for that. So I guess that the parable of the seeds that she was talking about, you know, the Lord is coming back. It was kind of a hard saying, but it's true what she said. I did understand it. The one who received the seed that fell along the throne and the words of life and deceit are wept.
Yeah, so different kinds of hearts.
Right.
Right. I mean, the one constant in that parable is the seed. The seed never changes, but it depends upon what kind of heart the seed falls on.
Right, right. And it was planted in all hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it said it was planted, and one didn't understand, and the enemy came and snatched it away, lest they would hear and be saved. I believe I read that.
Yes, that's right.
One fell on the rocky place, and it was jarring. But since he had no roots, he lasted only for a short time.
That's right, yeah. Persecution comes, the cares of this world. So many things can keep the Word of God from really taking root and producing fruit in our lives.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. I look back on my life, and I do get a check from SSI, and you're not allowed to have over $2,000 in the bank. So my granddaughter was paying me to keep her little girl, and mine had went over $2,000. When I called Chatline to check on my account, the more they tell me I had, I guess the prouder I feel. But, you know, they eventually called, and they had overpaid me, and I had to pay that money back. And when I look now, it seemed like to me I was feeling so good because of what I had. And in the bank. But I told my granddaughter she hadn't paid me something to keep her daughter. I probably wouldn't have let it went over. But I kind of am glad in a way that I believe God just stopped it. Mm. And I had to pay it back. Mm.
So, now do you feel good or you feel bad?
No, I feel good that he did. If he did that, I'm glad. Because I was getting kind of, the more I see, when I would call, the more in the bank, in my checking account, I guess the prouder I feel.
It sounds like you're under the, that prosperity test. You're getting rich, and you started feeling too good about it.
I was feeling good.
Maybe I got some money.
Yeah, and the more I got, the more bigger. I don't know. I just
the
felt
bigger
good
you
about
started
it
to feel.
I sure did.
Yeah.
So
but you know what? You know what? Maybe. We need that. Maybe we need to realize like what we got. I would say what we got is so incredible that if it's told us, we hardly can believe it. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like him. We got something going on, Bernice, that's from God because he was incarnated. And that's a huge thing. We are in such a good place. We are in such a good place. Thank you so much for your call, Bernice.
I appreciate y'all sharing with me. You have a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. May God bless.
Thank you.
God bless you.
800-338-7060 is the toll-free number for you to join us, friends. Just pick up that phone like Bernice did. Give us a call. She called us from Louisiana. You can call us right here from
Dundalk.
Baltimore, Dundalk, Middle River.
Hey, Pastor Love, how much money you got in your bank account?
Not as much as Bernice, I'm sorry to say. But God is, he meets our needs.
Yeah, I can understand what she's saying.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe never had so much money in the bank, and then to have it, start feeling good about it.
Yeah, well, you can almost start to put your faith in that. You can trust your bank account more than God. It'd be easy to do that. I don't have to worry about asking God to meet my needs. What I have in the bank will take care of that and more.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the real riches in life are immaterial. Mm. I mean, an attitude. Imagine an attitude of just constant appreciation.
Yeah.
Constant thanksgiving. Just think of an attitude like, wow, I've got so much. I'm alive today. Thank you. I can talk. You know, I have people around me. I talked to Pastor Drew today on the phone, and some more grandchildren are coming, and his huge family. He's like a tribe,
yes.
Like a clan. I mean, more and more. Multiplication. What do you think?
Yeah, that's incredible. He's got
that's a pretty cool thing. But, why can't I take what I got? I might not have that like that, but I take what I have and I make a big deal about it. And consider it. And I only have a few days left to live anyway in this life. And it's a life of faith. And it has value. And there's people around us. Oh, I got a good thought for us for Christmas. Pastor Love, you help me with this. Do you know how It's a time when, you know, you reach beyond your circle of friends and you reach out and you include others, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an uncle you haven't had much contact with, and he's, you know, reaching to draw a circle, to include him. Include him. Should Christmas be a way of reaching out, like the way God did to the shepherds and everybody else involved in the story? It somehow God is drawing a circle to include and draw them in to worship the Son of God. Should we do something like that too?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great opportunity to do that. And
you know, can we talk practically about that?
Well, we have some folks that will gather. We know they gather on Thanksgiving morning, and you know, instead of just saying, "Oh, I can't wait to be with my family and to have a great Thanksgiving meal," which I'm sure they get a chance to do, they think there may be some homeless people out there. There may be some people that can't afford a meal. We're going to get together. We're going to provide a Thanksgiving dinner for them, and they take that to the streets. And they minister to people. They're enlarging their hearts so that their hearts include more people than maybe just their small circle of friends or their family members. And I think the same thing is probably going to happen here on Christmas Day. You have some folks that are going to just reach out and hope to make a difference in some people's lives. I mean, I saw this one gentleman on the evening news a week ago or so. He does it every year. He doesn't disclose his identity. I think he's a very wealthy person. But he goes around the country and he just finds people that have needs and he gives them money at Christmas time, gives them $100 bills.
Oh.
And just because he wants them to know they're valuable, they're important, they're special. I don't know if you know, he's a believer and if that's his motivation. I kind of hope it is. But the fact that he does that is remarkable.
It is.
It's a blessing. And these people, yes, they break down in tears because this kindness of a stranger, of something they don't even know.
Let's see. What do we have? Emails, phone calls, visits. We have, how about prayerfully, making a list of the people that I rarely communicate with through the year and maybe reaching out, maybe sending a little letter like you said, a gift what is Christmas, a time of sharing the goodwill? Maybe somebody has disappointed you in your life. I'm just thinking of, things that we read or stories that are told, maybe an estranged parent or estranged son or child, maybe a friend. And what about the time is, maybe it is now. Now is the time to reach out. Why not reach out? As we said, God did that. He sent his son into a world that was virtually enemies of his. We were in darkness and he is light, and the darkness comprehended it not, but he came anyway. He came anyway. He made the effort. He so loved the world that he gave his son. Well, with that spirit, wouldn't it be appropriate for us to labor in Christmas season, not simply giving gifts to the people we know and that we love? Remember, the evil give gifts to their own children. But what about us? What about us reaching beyond our normal, like, status quo group? And what about extending it beyond us? What do you think of that?
I think it's a good word from God. And to ask yourself, is it worth the risk? I would say it is.
Yeah, and there isn't any risk. What's the rejection is the risk?
Or, sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested, or I don't want to be part of your program, or whatever it might be. But what does it matter?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. What does it matter? Like, why not have it? The primary thing isn't their reaction. The primary thing is your heart and what spirit we have. It's Merry Christmas, right? It's goodwill toward men, peace on earth, you know. It's making the effort to say that God is for you, and so am I. I am for you also, you know. The past is the past, but let's move on and know that God loves you, and I do too, and I care about you. Maybe now's the time. It's December 14th, and now is the time to bring it before God in faith and in prayer, and not have the ordinary Christmas, you know. You know, what was the ordinary one, Pastor? The ordinary, the way people, you know.
Well, just
like you.
You go through the motions and buy the gifts for the people that are going to buy you gifts.
Okay.
you're giving a gift with we got the hope of getting something in return.
The bulbs and the light bulbs, and we got the thing, and we got the music, and we got and the food and everything. Okay, the ordinary, but now we're talking about something where we need to do some heart work, make some effort, take some risk, or just get beyond ourselves and reach out to that circle beyond us and say, you know, love, I love you, or God bless you, or I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
And welcome, come and be with us.
Yeah, it's... our ministry is the Greater Grace World Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'd like to do. Reach out and include others. Even, you know, we could say we have plenty of people in our church. I know, but, you know, God could say the same thing. You know, I'm good. I got some people
I've
saved.
I got the angels.
Yes, got angels, and I don't need human beings. Yeah. They're only going to be trouble anyhow. But it didn't stop him.
Yeah.
He came.
He paid for our sins. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Wow.
It's amazing.
Isn't it amazing how we could miss it? I mean, the whole message of it, the spirit of it, and the motivation behind it. For God so loved the world that he thought about it, or he so loved the world that he just stayed in heaven and considered it, or he so loved the world that he wrote a book about it, or he so loved the world that he gave a pile of money for it, or he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's the incredible celebration and the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people, you know, they don't even want to celebrate it because they have in the past, and they've come away and say, "Oh, it's empty. It's, you know, it's more loneliness for me. It's discouragement. It's a time." Some people even say it's a time of great depression. They would just assume not celebrate this season. But maybe the reason for the emptiness and the loneliness and the discouragement and the depression is that you would find out the real reason, and that you would have your eyes open. Because we can guarantee people listening today to the broadcast that if you will open your heart to Jesus, you will be able to celebrate every day.
That movie with Jimmy Stewart, It Was a Wonderful Life, you know that movie?
Yeah.
Like made in the 40s maybe
or
something.
So.
I mean, they hit a. They really did hit. They got it. That's a good message. Like, what if you had never lived? I wish I had never lived. And the angel said, okay, George, you've got your wish. And they go through Pottersville and they just see, George, your life meant something, right?
Yeah.
See, George, your life, saving your little brother from in the pond when he broke through the water, and many of those stories, and you know, then at the end they're all celebrating, and there's like a great Christmas celebration. We are told by God that our life is not an accident. This is on purpose. We are living a life by his grace, and he is for us. And there is really a lot of celebration, a lot of reason for celebrating. And we're just poking around today in our program, just kind of trying to say something that I think needs to be heard, which is there is the ordinary celebration, and it's not a bad thing, but then there is that which is really a celebration of the heart.
Yeah, and it produces joy unspeakable, full of glory. So again, hopefully you can participate in that angelic choir that announced the birth of Christ and join in the worship of the Savior, because that's why he came. And again, of all the needs that we have in life, there is none greater than needing a Savior. I can't imagine, you know, this time of year. I mean, I celebrated 17 Christmases without realizing once what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But when salvation came and God found me, it all changed. It's been exceptional and glorious ever since Christ was revealed to my heart.
Mm, beautiful. Yes.
Well, friends, we're just about reached the end of the broadcast today, and we thank you so much for joining us and participating with us today, many of you joining us on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. We want to remind you that tonight here at the Greater Grace World Outreach at 7 p.m., there's a wonderful, amazing Christmas concert, all performed by the students here at the Greater Grace Christian Academy, choir, choral group, special music. There is a fee, minimal, $3 per person, $6 for a family. Doesn't matter how many people are in that family. Come on out and join us tonight. Wonderful time. It's just going to help you celebrate the season and this time, these holy days that we're talking about, the coming of Christ. So if you can make it out tonight, we're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. The zip code is 21206. There's plenty of parking, well-lit parking lot. And you'll recognize the plaza with its Christmas trees and Christmas lights, Grace Island all lit up. Come on out and join us tonight if you're able to. And for those of you listening today, we'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We look forward to joining you then.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.